Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's happening? Tiki and Tierney ready to go on this Tuesday around the country. Hope everybody's doing well. Got a lot to hit. Good show for you as always. We're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. So it is Tiki and Tierney. We got some good guests today. We'll talk to a former Steeler, LaVon Kirkland, right around 4:20 Eastern. Xavien Howard, who has been phenomenal. I mean, he is the best cornerback in football, at least according to PFF. He's been great. He'll join us. Miami's on a roll. More of a mess. I mean, that was tough to watch. Peterson and Wentz last night, they're a disaster. Some strange comments from Jim Harbaugh as well. Teague, what's happening, dude? How are you today?
I'm fantastic, man. You're right. The game looked like it was close if you just look at the box score and you say, hey, they only lost by six. They had a chance to win it at the end. You didn't watch the game then because the Eagles, until they had a desperation, successful touchdown at the end, were thoroughly handled because of how poorly they played.
They did get the backdoor cover.
They did. They absolutely did. What was it, six and a half?
Yeah, I saw one guy. I didn't touch the game. I didn't really have a good feel either way. Didn't put anything toward it, but I saw one guy lost $500,000.
Wow.
Now again, if you're betting $500,000 on a relatively random, kind of tough to pick Monday night game, you probably have enough money to burn, and I don't know that the $500,000 crushes you.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's still $500,000.
Yeah, you're right. Now, he didn't bet $500,000, did he?
Or
did he?
I believe it was a straight. You know what? I don't want to misspeak. I don't. It could have been part of a parlay.
Yeah,
I'm
we might have to look
sure.
at it. Yeah, we have to look at that.
Not
one
sure.
That's a crazy one to put that much money on. And for
it
those
really
that missed
is.
It, at the end, Hail Mary, touchdown, 2-point conversion to make it six as opposed to five.
Can I just get something out of the way before we get into the Steelers and the Ravens? I was writing this to you guys on the Slack channel. I mean, can we come to a final determination on Bill Walton doing these games here? I'm in my office for the past hour or so, and I'm watching, or at least I'm trying to watch the semifinal, you know, a good Texas team, 2-0, good Indiana team, 2-0. I know it's obviously not in Hawaii, even though it's the Maui, which always has great participants. And I get it. Bill Walton has fun. He goes on these tangents, but I mean, it's just gotten to the point like he's done. He did a St. John's game a year ago, and it was annoying. Like if I'm a Texas fan or a Hoosier fan, and I'm really trying to watch the game, he's driving me nuts.
Well, he's not giving you any information. He's talking about random things. And one thing I heard, he said, I forgot what team he was talking about. But he was talking about Indiana. He's like, what's a Hoosier? So they got on this like a 5-minute conversation. While the game is going on, BT, about what a Hoosier is. And the play-by-play guy, whoever it is, said it's someone from Indiana. And so he just goes, well, you got the Texas Longhorns, and he gives a cow sound. Like, and then Indiana Hoosier. And then the Indiana Hoosier is someone from Indiana. And I was like, what are you talking about,
dude,
man?
He's got to be high. He got to be.
There's no doubt about it.
He got to be high. Yeah. And here's the thing, too, with these edibles, you don't even have to smoke it.
True.
You can just pop it in a hotel. By the time you get on the air, you're feeling good.
True, but what do they say? You can't turn off edibles.
Can't turn them off. That's what Snoop Dogg says. All right, Teague, so let's get into this. We have had some strange games in terms of times. Remember the Titans and the Bills? That was a weird one.
Yep.
None stranger than what we will be faced with tomorrow when the Ravens and the Steelers, again, we hope they play tomorrow at 3:45 Eastern,
which is
on
bizarre.
A Wednesday.
Bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, where we're at, buddy.
Yeah, it is where we're at. But it's 2020, BT, yeah. And we knew that the sports season was going to be convoluted and distorted. And, you know, earlier this week, we heard the Steelers players, actually, I think it was last week. It was after they were postponed on Thanksgiving. They were complaining about, you know, missing their primetime opportunity, and their bye week was already jacked around with earlier in the year because of the Tennessee Titans outbreak. That game had to be postponed, so they had to take an early bye week, and now they weren't getting this extra, you know, 10 days or whatever it may be between the Thursday night game and their next game. And it was just like all this complaints going on. So the game gets moved to Sunday, then it ultimately gets moved to Tuesday, and now it hears on Wednesday, and now they're complaining that because they haven't practiced enough. And so because they haven't practiced enough and there's too many guys that are on the COVID list, that they're going to go up and play a division rival who is the best team in football right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're going to get bludgeoned, and so they don't necessarily want to play. But then the NFL comes back and says, fine, you don't got to play, you can forfeit, but you're not getting paid. And then that's where we get to where we are right now. Mm-hmm. But here's the reality of this whole situation, BT. 2020 was jacked up from March, right? These guys, they hadn't had the draft yet, and we knew 2020 was going to be a messed up year for sports. I mean, hell, they canceled the NCAA tournament, you know, right at the beginning of it. So we knew that, you know, NBA was going to be in trouble. Major League Baseball was going to be in trouble. And this was all before the NFL season started. So when you start the NFL season and you go basically 3 months without having a lot of major issues, mm-hmm. you should be counting your blessings.
I agree.
If you're the NFL, yep. and all of these teams. Instead, they're up here complaining. I'm like, dude, just put your head down and soldier on. Yeah, it sucks. You don't get the practice. Maybe you lost your conditioning because you didn't run in a week or whatever it is. But mm-hmm. that's just the reality of it, man. Denver had to play without a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Suck it up. Suck it up and go do what you got to do and be a professional about it. Stop complaining.
I agree. Now, the only thing it does do is, you know, the residue, obviously, with this updated part of the schedule. So the Ravens and the Steelers Wednesday at 3:40. And then the Washington Steelers game now becomes a 5 Eastern kick on Monday, December 7th. Mm-hmm. And then so you have which is fine. You have a doubleheader on Monday. And you know what? Two pretty decent games. I mean, say what you will about
I don't mind it.
Me neither. Say what you will about the NFC East, but you know, based on the schedule right now, because the Giants have a really tough schedule to finish,
and Daniel Jones is hurt,
and Jones is hurt. I would probably point for Washington to probably win that division. So they're playing the Steelers, and then after that, you get the Bills and the 49ers. Bills are good. Niners coming off a nice win against the Rams. They refuse to quit. If there's any team, talk about the Steelers and how they've been kind of thrown around a little bit here, and the Ravens too. There's no team in football that has dealt with more injury than the Niners.
Yeah.
But yet, here they are. Now, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, but they still have to play Seattle. Mm-hmm. I believe they've got to play the Rams again, or the Arizona Cardinals again in Arizona. But yet, their home games will now be in Arizona. And then you have a Tuesday game. You have the Cowboys and the Ravens at 8:05 Eastern. So it is becoming Monday Night Football, which we'll get to next segment. Monday Night Football last night. Now we're going to have football on Wednesday late afternoon. That's fine. Then we'll have Thursday Night Football. You got college football Friday. You got college football Saturday. You got college basketball every day. NFL Sunday. I'm not complaining.
No.
You know why? Because we were dying. And this bothers me. We were dying for anything. I mean, at first it was kind of like, well, a week into the pandemic, how long is this going to last? I can watch these flashback games all year. This is great. Oh, you know, romanticizing what was. Uh-huh. That got old quick, man. We
really
needed some real sports.
Really quick. BT, bro, I remember us doing our shows like, what in the hell are we going to talk about? remember those shows like
we
a month
found
in?
Stuff, though, T.
I know. I'm saying that's a credit to all of us, you know, here and you know, D-Cell and Samter as well.
Don't give them any credit.
You know what I mean. But still, it's a team. We're all a team. No matter who, you know, is responsible for success. We're all.
No, listen. And by the way, I'm joking. On a lot of those dry days, that's when you lean on your producer and.
Yeah.
Your associate producer more. You've got to really craft the conversation.
Dude, I know, but I'm just remembering back to those. I remember waking up in the mornings being like, what are we going to talk about? Like, we can't keep harping on how bad the coronavirus is.
True. And we made a pact about that.
Yeah, we did. It was like, we just can't say the same thing over and over again. Yeah, guess what? This guy canceled and this isn't happening. But now here we are. The coronavirus is still around and probably getting worse in this country to some extent, even though I think the virus is obviously a lot less deadly, so to speak, even though it is killing still people, which is it's a shame and it's frustrating. And it's we pray for this vaccine soon. But at the end of the day, there's sports and they're managing it and they're mitigating circumstances. And there's reason to, you know, sit down and enjoy the escape. Right. That's what we talked about. I remember back in those days was we missed the escape. We miss having conversations about things that are mundane, you know, in, to real life, but exciting to us emotionally. And now we have it. And yes, it's not perfect. And yeah, maybe it is unfair to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I have a feeling that Mike Tomlin, who I think right now is the coach of the year, even though what you were just talking about with Kyle Shanahan, I might say Kyle Shanahan could be in the running for the 49ers because they don't quit. They're going to be okay. You know what I mean? It's the Ravens who have the biggest issue because they're in danger of missing the postseason if they lose this game understaffed, undermanned, and with really no hope, especially with Lamar Jackson not playing and RG3 not having practiced at all as a starting quarterback.
I think Ravens fans will probably take this the wrong way. I would implore you not to because I've got a lot of respect for your franchise. You're incredibly well run, smart, you know, smart people running the show, passionate players, great franchise champions, championship franchise. But you know, I can't overly lament, not that you are, you're just pointing it out, I got it, but I can't overly lament the unfair hand that they've been dealt. Not that it's perfect, it's not, but you know what? Again, it's now December. It's December 1st, officially December. You've had months to distinguish yourself, and early on they did, and then they didn't get great quarterback play, and they didn't get great offensive play, and they kind of dropped a little bit, not quite the middle of the pack, but I don't look at the Ravens if they don't make the playoffs this year, if they don't. And right now, they are not in because Miami's got 7 wins. The Browns have 8 wins. The Colts are 7-4. Vegas is there at 6-5. The Ravens 6-4, in case those, for those who don't know. But it's not as if like they were just on cruise mode. And we're like, God, this team is almost beyond reproach. They're phenomenal. And then bang, you know, like the carpet got ripped out from beneath their feet and they've been relegated to the seller status. Yeah, the cards are bad, but the cards came late and they had enough time earlier to handle some more business. And if they did, if they had one or two more wins, it wouldn't be as pressing.
Yeah, it's true. You almost felt like this whole season was going to come down to who managed this virus the best. Right. And it didn't show itself early except for with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, because remember they missed like 10 days, right, of practice. And they came out and they won. I forgot who they played that game that they
– I think it was the Bills game.
I think it was the Bills. Yeah,
I think it was the Bills game.
Yes, they did because they waxed the floor with them.
They
right?
put 40-plus on them.
That's right. And so –
I think it was 42-16, something like that.
That was the big issue was, man, how are these teams going to, you know, respond to not practicing and being around each other and doing all Zoom meetings and not, you know, physically running through game plans. And then the Titans just took care of business. And it's like, all right, this isn't going to be as bad as it seems, you know, when these teams, you know, have COVID issues. And right now it's really starting to percolate and pick up and the schedule's getting moved around. BT, there is no Thursday game this week, because remember the Cowboys were supposed to play the Ravens.
That's right. What
I mean,
I
the
right,
Cowboys were supposed to play the,
that's right,
whoever they were supposed to play, but it got moved until Monday.
That's
so,
right.
We knew that this was inevitable.
The Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens. We knew it was inevitable. It's actually pretty
miraculous. No, it's been moved to Tuesday.
Yes,
the
Tuesday.
Cowboys play Tuesday. That was my fault, Tegan.
Yep.
12-8 is a Tuesday. That's an 8:05 kick. The Monday game is the Bills and the Niners. And the earlier Monday game, same day, December 7th, is Washington at Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I misspoke on Dallas. Thank
you. But my point is, it's 12 weeks, 13 weeks now, because tomorrow we'll be in week 13. We had a pretty good run of not having too much disruption. And so the NFL, my point is, they're lucky because they're not bubbled. You know what I mean? They're not, you know, taking the precautions that the NBA did or the WNBA did because it's logistically much harder. But they're lucky that this is just hitting them now. The question is, how do they get through the remainder of this regular season and then into the postseason without having major outbreaks or cancellations of games? That's what you got to start thinking about if you're the NFL.
Well, what I think is going to be really interesting, and the only reason I say this is because individual workouts begin today with the NBA. I mean, it's December 1st. NBA season starts in 21 days, which is amazing. And you know, much like college basketball, although there's fewer games. Obviously, the college kids on a normal year, they play twice a week, whether it's a Wednesday, Saturday, or a Tuesday, Sunday. They never play unless it's like an event like the Maui or something, or the Coaches versus Cancer, you know, preseason events. You never get to play, you know, three or four games in a week. Whereas with the NBA, even though they've kind of cut that down a bit in recent years, you do play, always play three times a week. And if there's a massive outbreak, and you would imagine as we get into December that many of these NBA teams without a bubble, none of them have a bubble, unlike the last version of the NBA that we saw, it's going to be far more of a difficult task to manage the NBA on a nightly basis. I don't know how they play. I don't know if they'll be insensitive, is not the right word. I don't know if they'll be as unforgiving. Like, does it matter if you lose a star? Probably not. Or is it more about volume of players if they test positive, or if there's a need to quarantine certain players? Would they let the Lakers play with seven guys? I guess is what I don't know. The Utah Jazz.
That's a good question.
If they've got six players, can they pick up two guys off the street, provided they go through COVID protocol, and start a game with eight players? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a
good, I don't know.
That's a good question, because they didn't have to worry about that with the last, you know, the restart for the end of last season. But
correct.
This year,
correct.
It's going.
And there was only eight games you had to worry about.
Yeah, that's right.
In the restart.
But also, don't forget, like, and I've told you guys about this before, and you know this, BT. The NFL, when they travel, so Saints, when they had to go out to Denver, it's ultra controlled. Like, you get on a plane, you get off the plane, you get on a bus, the bus takes you to the hotel, maybe you have an hour or 2 hours. So if there's friends or family, this is on a regular, no, non-pandemic situation. Your friends or family around, you go say hello, maybe get a quick bite to eat. Mm-hmm. You're back in meetings, you're in bed check, you get up in the morning, have pregame meal, go to the game, and that, like, it's controlled, right? There's no, you know, messing around. There's no free time. There's no, we're going to go chill and hang out. The NBA, these guys chill. Like, they chill out, and they hang out, and they go to dinner, and they go to clubs, and they do all these other things on road trips. Now, I doubt that they'll be doing it, but I can't completely rule it out. You know what I mean? So I'm more worried about the NBA non-bubble than I was, interestingly, than the NFL non-bubble.
I agree with you.
The NFL is not, they're conditioned to travel and just chill.
Yes.
And it's only 8 days. Right, as much as crazy as it is, it's a 5-month season. There are 8 days that you sleep away from your own home, whereas the NBA, it's like 50 days.
Well, it's far less regimented.
That's right.
It's just far less regimented, and you just kind of, yeah. I mean, you do whatever you want. It's amazing. You roll into town, you play a game. A lot of times, you get back on the team plane. You go into whatever town is next, and you land at about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Usually at the Four Seasons or somewhere like that. And, you know, you get your per diem, you wake up whenever you want to wake up. Maybe you have a shoot around, maybe you don't. And then you play a game, you go out. In a non-pandemic year. So not to mention, you know, you could even have somebody just come to the room when you get there at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is a different set of circumstances, right. Because that person's not going to be tested by the NBA. So we are going to be jumping through hoops for a while. We're nowhere near out of it. But again, hey, resilience is winning, optimism is winning, and having multiple plans is winning. So if it's a Tuesday 3:45 Eastern kick between two great rivals, you take it, because the alternative is no fun.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, last night, it was brutal to watch this, man, and I've come to the determination, like, we're all trying to figure out what is wrong with the Eagles, and maybe more specifically, what is the solution? I've got the solution. I don't know if it's the solution in terms of fixing it, but I don't see another solution. Like, I don't see another. To me, there's one option. And if they don't do this, then what we're seeing this year will absolutely bleed into next year. Let's get to the mess that is the Eagles still. National TV got to see it last night. We'll hit it next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney. It's 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico, 855-212-4CBS. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Just go to geico.com. Easy. So hopefully everybody's having a good Tuesday. Good start to their Tuesday afternoon. Tiki and Tierney with you here. Just getting going. CBS Sports Radio. No TV today. So if you were planning on getting home, maybe you DVR the show on a regular basis. Nothing today. Nothing tomorrow TV-wise. Just all of our affiliates, 150-plus, radio.com, Apple iTunes, obviously on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. A million ways to follow the show, but you won't get to see our bold, shiny heads today in real time. So, listen, it is mystifying. It is mind-bending to watch the regression, the stark regression from Carson Wentz. And I would submit this. Before I'll tell you what I think my solution might be, I challenge anybody. Now, you have seen this in baseball with pitchers, so I want to make sure I'm specific to the sport of football. In non-injuries, although he did hurt his knee, but he's healthy now, like, find a quarterback who was really good, basically the MVP, and now who is straight garbage.
Yeah.
Find that guy.
No, it doesn't exist, especially a guy who was that good young. You know what I mean? It's one thing if it's the other way, where you're not good young and then you get better older. That's the one you can find, like, the discrepancy that way.
Yeah, like Rich Gannon was a little, you know,
exactly.
Struggled.
Alex
early.
Smith,
yeah, sure.
Even.
Alex Smith.
It's almost impossible to find it the other way.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Unless the guy ages out and just, like, he's a shell of himself. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It is really hard. And the other thing, you know, I don't say optimistic because I don't know if I'm a fan or care that much about the Philadelphia Eagles to be optimistic about their prospects. But listen to the number of yardage who are still the worst team in football by yards in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks have given up 506, 464, 522, 415, 449. 519, this is successive weeks, 351, that was against the 49ers. They were all beat up, though. We all remember that one. Mm-hmm. The Bills, they gave up 420,
yep.
390 to the Rams, and then 314 to the Cardinals. But obviously that was also with Kyler Murray being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, the Eagles, 250.
That's disgusting.
250 yards is all the Eagles had last night.
To be fair, Jamal Adams is healthy, and Jamal Adams is making a big difference.
But he's not big of an impact
of
a player.
Especially in the passing game, he's not.
That's right, even though he did have a couple sacks. And, he played better both ways.
Coverage, he's still a little suspect down
the scenes.
Of course
he is. He always has been. That's not his game. His game is around the line of scrimmage. So my point is, though, what in the Eagles do? Like, what do you not watch tape? Right? Do you not? You go find the weaknesses of the Seattle defense and go try to exploit them. It was almost frustrating watching the Eagles try to do the same things over and over again and continually fail. Now, part of this is on the players, right? And we talk about Carson Wentz. Part of it is on the offensive line because they just got old and. New and disjointed and unsettled really quickly. But this has got to be on coaching too. And I know we said this going into the game, but it just felt like they don't have a clue on how to make him feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if he's not comfortable, he's not going to be successful.
You mean bringing Jalen Hurts in for a snap? Is it going to make him feel good
about
himself?
Exactly. So either do it or don't. You know what I mean?
Correct. They are so in between, Teak. Their draft choices have been bad.
Horrible.
And also, like, mystifying in terms of the selection of Jalen Hurts in round two. You don't do that for a gadget guy. You want to incorporate him or slowly transition away from a quarterback that you don't believe in.
Yes.
I still wouldn't take him in round two. But, okay, at least you can somewhat validate the pick with that sort of a plan for the young man. But to come in as a change of pace, take a snap, throw a pass back to the bench, what in the world are you doing? Howie Roseman has failed. Yep. Doug Peterson has failed.
Yep.
Carson Wentz has failed to elevate his teammates. Now, I really don't get too wrapped up in, unless it's really bad, okay? And I didn't love the teamwork of Witten and Boog and Tessitore. And I know it's a hard job. I'm not trying to make it seem easier than it is. It's not easy, but I didn't think that those guys were very cohesive. I didn't think it was a great broadcast. I think Riddick's fine, and I think Greasy's fine.
Yeah.
And I like Levy, all right? So I'm actually enjoying, unless it's really, because I use my own eyes and my own ears to decipher what I need to decipher. I really don't rely on the voices. That's why I bring that up, to tell me what's going on. But I thought last night, first of all, they're much better than their predecessors. Levy's likable, and Greasy and Riddick are both pretty good. Riddick are both good. But I thought Greasy did a really good job of illuminating specifically, like, what's wrong with with Carson Wentz, and he's just talking about, hey, when a defender's back, like a pass down the field, when a defender's back is to you, don't loft the ball. Mm-hmm. Don't throw it in the air. Keep it low so he doesn't have time to turn. Yeah, doesn't have time to turn around and find it. Instead, he's lofting the ball probably 5 to 10 feet higher than he should. Carson Wentz stinks right now.
Yeah.
But you know what the problem is? The problem's the head coach.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that you could change in this equation, and they have to fire Doug Peterson. It is not going to get better. This union, this relationship is not going to work. I don't believe that Doug Peterson believes in Carson Wentz. And when you have a $52 million cap hit next year and a $30 million cap hit the next year, you got to at least bring in somebody who believes in Carson Wentz. Doug Peterson's got to go.
Yeah, well,
he's got to go.
Either that or he's got to make a determination on how to fix
too late.
Carson Wentz.
Too late if I'm running that team. Too late.
Well,
too
I
late.
Mean,
it's December.
But the thing is, he has some equity because of the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And the Eagles aren't a team that's quick to fire, right? Andy Reid was there for a long time. They
fired Ray Rhodes pretty quick, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But I think that's because Ray Rhodes just wasn't – he was clear he wasn't the right guy. Didn't have a Super Bowl ring. And Doug Peterson, he does. But what you're saying is you're right about. This team has failed itself, really. They've drafted poor. They had a chance to draft – you know, a DK Metcalf. They passed him over. They got a Jalen Reagor who is, I mean, maybe he'll be a good player, but I don't see it yet. Alshon Jeffrey, they still believe in. Heck, they still have D-Jax on this team, DeSean Jackson on this squad. And it's like, what are you, this isn't how you strengthen or give confidence or support a young, still developing quarterback. Like, if you have a 10-year vet who's been around and he's worked with millions of different wide receivers and he knows football, then you don't worry about the surrounding cast. But when you got a young player who is swimming in it right now, mm-hmm. you got to have a good cast around him, and there just isn't a good cast around him. And they've whiffed in the draft. That's the problem. And they're not getting criticized enough for it. Well, now they are, but they haven't been criticized for it enough previously.
Well, you know why? Because that takes a commitment to thought.
Yes.
And most people, it's easier. You know, you grab the low-hanging fruit and you just rail on Carson Wentz. And again, he's got a lot to absorb because he has been wretched. But the issues with the Eagles are much deeper than that. And it's ingrained almost into the DNA of the franchise here.
Yeah.
Like, really, the guy that they let walk out the door, Joe Douglas, is the guy who should be running the show.
No, I think about it. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, look.
Now with the Jets,
they drafted Reagor, Justin Jefferson. They said this last night. Justin Jefferson was drafted right behind him. Justin Jefferson's having a hell of a season. He might be the rookie of the year.
Oh, I think he is.
I think you're right in Minnesota. You know what I mean? So it's just they haven't done well drafting. I think they have their idea right, what they need, like who they need, they're identifying.
You mean positional stuff, just not the right player?
Yeah, they know
well,
who
that's the, even I could do that.
That's right. They
that's
know
the,
who they're
oh,
getting.
We need a left tackle. We need a receiver. Anybody could do that.
That's right.
It's so but, hard about that.
Yes, the hard part is getting the right guy. You know what I mean? It's not wasting your pick on someone and not turning out to be the right guy, and that's what's happened.
Yeah, it is. Man, I mean, I know that championship, boy, I mean, if they didn't get that championship, that place would be unhinged.
Oh, I think Peterson would be already gone. He'd be already gone, to your point. He would be already gone if they hadn't won the championship.
And just to be clear, when I say, you know, they got rid of Ray Rhodes quick, you know, Ray Rhodes had a couple of multi or double-digit win seasons back-to-back to start, and then once things went awry, and they did go awry pretty quickly at that point, they unraveled quickly, then they bounced him, but what I meant by that, not that he was there for a year or so, but that I didn't think that they gave him, not that it even matters, I just want to be, you know, accurate. I thought that the leash was a little short for a guy who won, you know, 10 or 11 games his mm-hmm. first 2 years on the job. But again, you know, at that point, I mean, I don't even know what the heck year that was. I mean, when was Ray Rhodes coaching the team? I was in college. It was 90s. It was the 90s. I don't quite think I was evaluating it like I was. Like
no,
I
you
am
weren't
now.
Thinking about it the same way.
No, not even close. But, you know, again, Roseman's failed. He's done a wretched job. Doug Peterson. The other thing about Peterson, too, and this is important. Like, it's one thing if, again, as a former quarterback, it's unforgivable to see a guy who almost won the MVP morph into whatever the hell Carson Wentz has morphed into. That alone is grounds for failure. But his communication, his messaging is sloppy. It doesn't instill belief that he knows what's next or that he has a solid plan. Is that a fair assertion?
That's exactly right. It doesn't seem like there's any direction. And look, he had to have some input. There's no way you can convince me he had no input in the fact that they were going to take a quarterback in the second round. Like, you can't convince me. Doug Peterson, I had no idea. So they talked about it. Him and Howie Roseman talked about it when they draft Jalen Hurts, and they had to have drafted him for a reason. Mm-hmm. Now, you just don't waste a second round pick on a guy for no reason, or to play three plays a game or five plays a game, whatever it is he's averaging. By the way, Ray Rhodes was 95 through 99 BT.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, right 98, Reed. 98. Reed took over. Yep, right before Andy Reid, and he was. Yep. You're right. 10-6, 10-6. Then it went south quick. 6-9, 6-9-1, and 3-13.
Then they bounced him.
That's right.
But he had back to back double digit win seasons.
That's
right.
10-6 and 10-6. Okay. Lost the division around, then lost in the wild card the following season. But but my point back to Jalen Hurts is they drafted him for a reason. Mm-hmm. So either they suspected something was not quite right with Carson Wentz, and if that was the case, then why in the hell did you pay him? You know what I mean? I'm confused about the process. Like, the process doesn't make sense. It's like there's no plan, because you don't draft a kid in the second round who was as successful as Jalen Hurts was and then not have a plan on what to do with them. And right now it's like they're waffling in the wind. They have no idea where they're going, and it's showing up on Sundays, and it's costing them games. And to your point, that's a fireable offense.
It's going to start costing jobs.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. I mean, boy, it is just strange to watch this every game, and it's not getting better. Matter of fact, it is getting worse. Just strange. All right, T, coming up next, the opposite of Carson Wentz, Derrick Henry, starting to heat up, getting better. So what he does, can he reach 2,000 yards? He's on a binge. We'll get to that inbounds, out of bounds next after Axe Update, which is right now.
Here's inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a minute here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. It is James Cook, junior Georgia running back. Ripped off 104 yards in Saturday's big win. Easy. Over South Carolina, as expected, 45-16. Just six carries, by the way. So Cook added his first two touchdowns of the year, so he played well and opened up some eyes, averaging almost 7 yards a carry on the season. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop on by. Tiki and Terry, appreciate you stopping on by here. We've got LeVon Kirkland coming up at 420 Eastern, former Steeler, and Clemson Tiger. He's got a podcast for the Believe in Clemson Network. We'll do that. Xavier Howard as well. Great. I mean, he is having a beast of a season for Miami, and he has been great. And he's their corner, their star corner. He'll stop by. We'll get to the strange comments from Jim Harbaugh. So we have a lot to get to. Drop us some tweets at Tiki and Tierney. But first up, Tiki, it's time for Inbounds, Out of Bounds. You ready to go?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, we start with the beast. The man is on a mission again. Derrick Henry leads the NFL in rushing with over 1,200 yards after running over the pretty vaunted Colts defense on Sunday to the tune of a 178, three touchdowns. All three scores were in the first half, so he probably could have gotten more. They didn't really need him. Henry's on pace for over 1,800 yards, but is also on pace for nearly 400 carries. That is a little dangerous territory. Henry led the NFL last year with 303 carries, so his usage rate is quite high, as you would imagine. In or out, Henry's dominance with this many carries is sustainable for at least two more seasons.
Yeah, two more seasons inbounds. Yeah, definitely inbounds for that. Derrick Henry is a monster. He didn't have a ton of wear and tear in his first couple of years in the season of his career, and now he started to take on that load. So two more seasons, absolutely. And it coincides with the meaty part
of his extension that he signed this past year. So, yeah, it makes sense to a guy like that. Use him up, man. Wear him out. Use him up. And, yeah, maybe he only plays 8 years, 9 years, but he's going to be impactful and interesting and lead the league and be one of the best players that tote the rock in the NFL every year.
He's in the middle stage of early middle stage of carving out a Hall of Fame career.
No doubt.
And he's well over 5,000 yards. You know, he's going to tack on a couple of hundred more this season, minimally, if he stays healthy. So, you know, next year, if he's healthy, he's way over 6,000. Boom, you start to get to that territory at that age. He's still only 26 years of age. You've got a shot. And Tiki's point, the first point, is the most important point. He was not used up a lot. His first year only started twice. His second year only started twice. And even his third year didn't start 16 games. He started 12. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they just started sticking it in his gut and said, wow, we've got to run this kid into the ground because he's awesome. He is a big, strong back. The modern athlete's different. He's 6'3", 250. So I'm not worried about him breaking down. Now, I mean, I'm not going to bet on him to do this at the age of 34. But also to Tiki's point, you're not paying him to do that at the age of 34.
That's right.
I agree. Two more years. If he's healthy, book it. He'll be as dominant in 2 years as he is today.
Are you in or are you out?
Oh, this is getting interesting here. The Urban Meyer watch starting to heat up, Teak. Here we go.
Watch out, Tommy Herman.
Tommy, not good for you. Various outlets speculating that he's going to take over for his former assistant, Tom Herman, next year for Texas. Now, one unconfirmed report, although keep in mind, remember there were also unconfirmed reports, LeBron's wife is looking at private schools in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to be a Sixer. No, he never went there. So just keep that in mind. I'm not saying he's not going to go there, but keep that in mind. But there is an unconfirmed report that says his wife, Urban's wife, has been in the market for a home in Austin near the Texas campus. Also not a bad real estate investment. Austin is obviously popping. The Longhorns have just one double-digit win season since 2009. No conference titles and just two top two finishes in the Big 12. So, in or out, Urban Meyer would turn Texas back into a perennial national title contender within three seasons.
It's hard for me to say otherwise. So, I got to say in bounds of this, Urban Meyer has done nothing but have success wherever he has been. And part of that is because of how well he is, how good he is at bringing in coaches who are innovative. Just think of the Ryan Days of the world. Even Herman, when he was in Houston, I'm forgetting the guy's name at Boston College now, but he's also a disciple. So it's there are just certain really good coaches that you have to find in order to lift your program.
Yep.
So yes, it's about the head coach, right? But it's also about your assistants. And he's gotten the best assistance, and I mean that money can buy. Not to mention he's a hell of a recruiter. Maybe also that money can buy.
Yeah, and he's also great on TV. Which you know, you're speaking to kids. Let's not get this twisted. He's doing the Big Ten, you know, the kickoff show on Fox.
Yeah,
yeah, he's talking to us, but he's also talking to future recruits because he knows he's coming back to coach. As you and I have surmised, you know, basically in the moment that he stepped away, we both thought he was going to come back, and he will. What I love about this is that, you know, he's done it in a multitude of stops, and they're all very different. You know, he wanted Bowling Green, you know, a mid-major. Okay, that's good. Good start to his career. Then you go to Utah, and that is as unique of a state as we have in our country. The beautiful state of Utah is just very different than the other 49 states. He went 12-0 there, and he had the first overall pick in Alex Smith in 2005. You go to Florida, hotbed. You win two titles in the SEC, all right? You win two titles, and then you go to Ohio State, and you absolutely dominate the Big Ten in a style, like an open style that the Big Ten is not accustomed to. He wins every which way. He's a flat-out superstar. All right, might cut some corners to get you there, but do you really care if you're a Texas fan? The answer is no, but the answer to the question is yes, they will be legitimate contenders in 3 years.
By the way, that was Halfley, Jeff Halfley. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, from BC.
Yeah, from BC.
Yep.
Are you in or are you out?
I think Urban Meyer is better. I think he's better than Dabo. I think he's right there with Nick. I think he's the best. He's incredible.
One of the things that all those great coaches have, BT, is they hire great assistants.
That's right.
This is what it is. Think about Clemson's assistants. Think about Nick Saban's assistants. They're just really good coaches.
True that. All right, let's get to the champion Lakers here. NBA season's upon us. Did you know that? Not fully satisfied with just one title, and why would you be? You're the Lakers. So they've made a lot of moves this offseason. They brought in Marcus Gasol, Montrezl Harrell. They clipped him from the Clippers. Wesley Matthews, a pretty good 3-and-D guy. Dennis Schroeder. Now, in his introductory press conference, Schroeder, who finished second to Harrell last year for Sixth Man of the Year award, said that he would rather start than come off the bench.
I did this off-the-bench stuff already, you know, 2 years with OKC. I think I try to move forward, you know, and I think with AD and LeBron, you know, I can be helpful, I think, as a starter in the PG position.
Okay, so there it is. It would be better for the Lakers to start him rather than bringing him off the bench.
I mean, I think this is inbounds, BT. Dennis Schroeder, he's a really good player, especially if he could be somewhat off the ball because he can spot up shoot as well as handle and distribute. It's almost, you know, it's almost like he's just been in the wrong places for a lot of his career, Atlanta being one. But, yeah, I think he should start, absolutely, inbounds.
Yeah, I like that attitude. I mean, the kid's in the middle of his prime. He's just entering his, he's 27. The last thing you want to hear is, no, I'm okay coming off the bench. I'm cool.
Yep.
No, you want to assert yourself verbally, and then once practice starts physically, take the reins and become the man. I'm going to say inbounds, and because they're so loaded and they have LeBron and AD, he doesn't need to be, you know, great. He just needs to be merely efficient and he needs to be good.
Yes.
But don't forget, you know, his best season came in 2017-2018 when he averaged nearly 20 points a game for Atlanta. He shot 29% from downtown that year.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's relatively inefficient. His best seasons points-wise have been when he's had the green light to just let it flow. I like him. I don't love him, but you don't need to love him for this roster. Like, if he went to a team that was trying to take a big leap from being irrelevant to being competitive, I don't know if that's the best fit. But for the champions, he'll conform, he'll play hard, and I think he'll help them out. Yes.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You know, that's one of the things that a lot of people overlook. You know, when you go to a team and it's a skill set that is not really tangible because it's more of a mindset, because you are going to a situation where you're just not going to get the shots. You're not going to get the looks, and you got to be okay with it.
Yeah, you're right. You got to find how to play in a role. Even if you're starting, you got to find how to play a role. Now that he's there, when he goes to the Lakers, that's the role. He's going to have to figure out what his role is.
Mm-hmm.
And look, he'll be guided into it. He'll be forced into it, but it'll be whatever it is. And if he accepts it willingly, then he'll be successful.
Well, that's the key point. He's going to be guided into it because LeBron's going to make sure that he feels comfortable.
That's right.
Before LeBron himself even feels comfortable. It's the greatness of LeBron. Oh, we're new? Okay, let's get him going in the first quarter. Get the like you did with AD. Jim Harbaugh. I don't know what the hell he said yesterday. It was strange. We'll hit it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.